Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam.
Morning, John. How's it going?
It's going horribly. Absolutely horribly. Fuel prices are at record levels. The fourth wave is either yet another example of the BS that the global capitalist cabal is forcing on its citizens, or it is the worst thing since the Spanish flu and bubonic plague of the 1600s. How's it with you?
It's okay. I mean, in comparison, I feel, it's all right somehow, but it's, we're all in this state at the moment, aren't we, of uncertainty again, which we just did not think we would be in. I mean, a year ago it was bad enough. 6 months ago we're thinking, oh, signs of hope, travel reopening maybe. And 2 months ago, full speed ahead for Christmas. And now here we are wondering. Omicron, by the way, Omicron B, to give it its title, this variant, is apparently an anagram of no crimbo. So there's a clue about what might happen come Christmas.
And people who are not particularly gifted when it comes to language and grammar say it's an anagram of moronic, which it is not. It suits them to claim that it is, and a lot of people probably won't check whether it is indeed an anagram of moronic, which it is not. Anyway, one of the things we have to consider is the WHO warning about Omicron and the renewed focus it brings to vaccine inequality across the globe.
Yeah, interesting that overnight Joe Biden has said that they won't be putting lockdowns into the United States, but they have already looked at travel and international travelers without necessarily taking extra steps. But America's a law unto itself for this whole thing. The World Health Organization absolutely saying that the new variant shows the world is dealing with, as Dr. Ghebreyesus put it, the most serious health crisis in a century. He wagged his finger at a few countries, as you just did. The WHO, he says, does not advocate wholesale travel bans, but he says some might think they're done with COVID-19. Well, clearly COVID-19 is not done with us. And then he said that no country would be safe until everyone is vaccinated, and vaccine hoarding by richer nations has led directly to the new threat. He makes a very good point. Do the richer nations listen to the WHO? Do they respond to that? There's been a little bit of bargaining. That pot was created to send extra vaccines around the world. And I think it got to a few hundred million doses, didn't it? But whether that's still going on now. And here, for instance, just in the UK, we've had a government that has just talked about boosters for everyone, second doses for 12 to 15-year-olds, fourth vaccination jabs for many people. I just get the feeling that the hoarding continues.
I've been reading about this on various news outlets and fascinated by Zhu Xinjiang, the North Korean prisoner being held by China.
Yes, because we don't quite know the full story. Of course we don't, because A, he's from North Korea, and B, he's in China. Put those two together, and it's kind of difficult. There are some missing details. But interestingly, Zhu Xinjiang, this is a guy who basically crossed the border. He swam the river between China and North Korea, made it to the other side, and there was no fanfare or anything. He then had to live off the land, which included, unfortunately for him, stealing some stuff. I mean, he stole a few things, as in clothes and mobile phones and a bit of money. And, you know, it's not the best thing in the world, but he got arrested and given 10 years in prison. 10 years for stealing some clothing and some food. And anyway, he escaped from prison with only 2 years to go on his prison term. He scaled a rooftop, vaulted an electric fence, vanished for 40 days and 40 nights. Indeed, there is something biblical about Zhu Xinjiang. A huge bounty was put on his head, at which point you're thinking, why is the Chinese state offering over $100,000 for essentially a petty criminal? He has been rearrested, looking decidedly pale and weak, because it does appear he hadn't eaten very much for those 40 days and nights. And the question is, did he escape from prison in order to avoid being deported to North Korea? And is there that sense of which would you prefer, the iron bars of an actual jail in Jilin or the caged society of Kim Jong-un? And why is China so interested in this guy?
More questions than answers, no doubt about that. Bye-bye. Well, I don't know what they say for bye-bye in Barbados, but whatever it is, they're saying in the direction of Her Majesty.
Yeah, they've had a ceremony, I think it was about an hour ago or so, maybe an hour and a bit ago, attended by Prince Charles on behalf of the British Crown and Rihanna. name your famous Bajans, and Rihanna is always on that list, isn't she? Anyway, there they were at the ceremony, handing over, essentially, Barbados. I mean, it's already an independent state, but the Queen is no longer head of state. So it finished what began in 1625, when a British ship turned up and said, we'll have that, claim the island for King James I. Here we are, 400 years later, or very nearly, and the Bajan Prime Minister, Mia Mottley, talked about a chance for the island to assert itself, show greater self-confidence. Of course, there'll be some memories maybe for you guys from, I think it was 1961, the Queen ceased to be head of state for South Africa. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it, really? It's what, you might call a conscious uncoupling. It's all the rage these days.
Adam Gilchrist will be back with another Worldview and sharing that with Refilwe Moloto tomorrow morning on Breakfast.